Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
So the Cheltenham Festival gets underway on Tuesday afternoon. We'll have coverage right across the week here on Off the Ball. We'll have John Duggan and Johnny Ward at the track, so you'll get right up to date with the early tips on OTB AM and then all the reaction of the day on Off the Ball throughout the evening and as it happens on offtheball.com. It's also going to be live on Virgin Media Sport as part of their spectacular week of sport. And for the launch of that, AP McCoy was in town yesterday and I went down to meet him. Here's how it went. All right, so we're almost there. We're on virtually on the eve of Cheltenham, and what good fortune to run into the greatest jockey of all time. AP McCoy is alongside me. How are you?
Good, thank you.
So what's this, Cheltenham number four that you're not riding yet? Is it getting any easier?
Yeah. Look, it's getting a little bit easier. You know, that's the one thing I think about maybe doing TV that has kind of helped me. I don't do it very often, obviously, but I think going to the Cheltenham Festival, it gives you a purpose. You know, it takes your mind off not being able to ride. But it's getting a little easier. Look, it'll never be the same. I can't help but think I'd love to have another go, but unfortunately I'm much too old. But I'm looking forward to it. Look, as a jump racing fan, you know, it is the greatest week. And I know a lot of people say it, but it is the greatest week in jump racing.
Would you be the type who'd be looking at the fields for the week and going, I would have been riding that one, that's what JP has, I would have been on that one?
Yeah, I was down in Martinstown in JP's place probably last summer, and I was kind of slagging him saying, did you just wait till I retired till you got all these good horses? And JP, being as sharp as he is, said, sure, I didn't need to have good horses when I knew riding for me, you know. But he's got a very strong team, you know, from start to finish, even, you know, the likes of Faka Dudari the first day, and obviously Bouvadere, and then you have Sir Eric and Champ and OK Corral and Defi Dassault. You know, there's a lot of big chances there, and hopefully we'll have a great week. You know, it's do I look and think I would be riding him? You know, I'm not really one to really look back, you know, tend to look forward. I had my time, you know, I was lucky to have the time that I had. And I look forward to cheering those horses on. I hope to God that they all win.
It feels as if the entire calendar, more than ever, has started to go around Cheltenham. Maybe not so much for the good of the game, that everything feels like it's a Cheltenham trial, and yeah. We don't at times appreciate the grade ones for what they are and acknowledge great horses for winning those races. I found myself watching back your documentary over the last couple of weeks, and it struck me that one of the things that made you great was that for you, every day was a big day. Every day was an important day. Was Cheltenham still different?
Cheltenham was still different. There's no doubt Cheltenham was still different. But at the same time, you know, I often and went through stages, you know, going to Cheltenham, especially now that it's 4 days, you know, you obviously need to have the best horse the majority of the time, but it's a little bit more diluted. There's a little bit more room, there's a little bit more, you know, when I went to Cheltenham my first years, the likes of the Arkle had 18 or 20 runners in it. You know, now it'll have 6 or 7 or 8, you know, and it's, you know, it's a little more diluted. And I'm not saying that it's easier to win, but for those short prices in novice races, there's less probability of something going wrong, you know. And you know, so I'm not saying it's easier by any stretch of the imagination, because it is difficult, but that's what makes Cheltenham special, is that everyone knows the difficulty, you know, that how difficult it is to win at the Cheltenham Festival, and everyone knows that there is nothing like it in terms of atmosphere, in terms of reception, in terms of I owned, I trained, I rode a winner at the Cheltenham Festival.
Is it possible to describe that 5-10 minute period, however long it is? You probably know down to the second how long it is from crossing the finish line to getting off the horse, as you're going through those thousands of people all applauding you, some of whom have won an absolute fortune. Is it possible to describe the feeling inside of that?
No, it's not. And you know what Cheltenham has different than anywhere else is, I know a lot of people talking about it, but this great theatre, but what it has by coincidence, by design, by whatever it is that very few places when you pull up at the winning post do you walk back down in front of all the people, and you get to soak up all the atmosphere. It's right in front of the betting, right in front of the bookies. It's where all the punters have been. It's whether if you've backed a really short price favourite, if you're lucky enough to ride one of those big gambles that have come off at the Cheltenham Festival. You know, there is no feeling like it. Look, sports people will never admit to it, but, you know, having people massaging your ego after you've just performed on the big stage, there's nice. Nothing like it. To the same extent, if you've just got beaten in a sharp price favourite, you know, you can see the other side of it as well. But you'd be I was always the sort of person that was in, you know, I always was inclined to enjoy the big days and think of the positives. I, you know, I never believed that I got beaten that many, but it was 14,000 or something, so I got beaten a lot, beaten more than most people.
I'm going to do the stereotypical thing and ask you for your tips. You must get asked more than anybody. You're probably asked 10,000 times over the space of the month around Cheltenham for your fancies. Do you just pick one horse at the start of the month and just go with it and not have to think about it again?
To a point, I was really impressed with Sir Eric, at Leopardstown at Christmas. Really good flat horse that's jumped really well. He backed that up when he won really easily at Leopardstown last time. He's even money for the Triumph. You can't really be telling people to back an even money shot for the Triumph, but he's a very good horse. I think him and Sir Eric and Tiger Roll are the two horses that I think are near on banker material. I think they've got plenty in hand over their opposition. Tiger Roll especially, he's 14 or 16 pound the best horse in the race. In terms of, it was a handicap, he'd have to give that much to the second next best horse. So
presume he won't be going off at 25 to 1 like he did a couple of weeks ago.
No, and you know what, I think if the likes of Presenting Percy had done what Tiger Roll had done in Navan the last day, he'd be an even shorter price for the Gold Cup. I think those are two horses. I think I do know that the outside of the championship races, the Martin Pipe conditional race is a race that Gordon Elliott would like to win because he used to work for Martin, and he's got a couple of good chances in there. And then there's all those, there's the likes of the Defi de Sauls and JLT that's got very strong form, OK Corral, Paisley Park and Faheen looks a two horse race, looks a match. Altior looks like, he's going to be dancing on his own, and the Gold Cup for me looks as open, as good a Gold Cup as I've seen for a very long time.
Where do you stand on Presenting Percy and the lack of time since last year's Cheltenham, one run?
I thought when I watched the RSA last year that he was just a Gold Cup horse waiting, I just thought he was a Gold Cup winner waiting to happen, and was so impressed with him, everything about him. I thought he had everything that you need to win a Cheltenham Gold Cup. You need tactical speed and what you need to win the Gold Cup. Obviously more than any horse, you need a horse that runs fast than all the others, obviously, but you need a horse that stays and stays and stays, and he looks like he does that. But the preparation, would have to leave you with doubts in your mind. No horse I don't think has won a Gold Cup since 1929 or some crazy stat like that hasn't ran over her fences that season. So it'll be a phenomenal training performance. It's not impossible. The lad, Pat Kelly trains him, has brought him to Cheltenham the last 2 years, and he's come up with the goods. If you were going in terms of handicap terms, I think Sir Eric, or I think Presenting Percy, I think there's, if it was purely on their best ever performances, his best ever performance would only see him finish about fifth, and I think there's three horses that are rated equally the same as him, so he could even finish eighth.
Yeah.
But he's tended to go to Cheltenham for the last 2 years and put up much better performances than he's ever done before. So he could do the same. Look, it's going to be very tough for him. Wouldn't be surprised if he won, but it's going to be tough for him. Clan de Zobo was really impressive in the King George. Native River, everything is in his favour. Love the ground, love the conditions. It's so hard to win back-to-back Gold Cups. Better horse than him couldn't win it. Likes of Cardo Star and Denman or Don Cossacks or, Sizing Johns. Lots of horses that recent times haven't been able to go back there. And I do think it's Willie Mullins' best chance of winning a Gold Cup. I know that we've said or we've read that he hasn't got the numerical strength or the depth that he had in previous years, but I do think it's his best chance of winning the Gold Cup. He's got Kenboy, who won at Leopardstown at Christmas, Bells Hill, who won the Irish Gold Cup last time, and Album Photo put up a really, if you're into speed figures and you're into times, he put up a really good speed figure and had a really good time from winning in Tramore last time. So I do think it's Willie's best chance of winning the Gold Cup.
From a jockey's perspective then, with Presenting Percy, and as you say, course form, there's no great doubts there, but because of the preparation there may be some question marks. Do you often sit in a horse anywhere, or Cheltenham in particular, where you don't have question marks, where you're thinking all I've got to do is steer this one around and not make any mistakes?
There are the exceptions, that's what I say about Willie Mullins. I say in previous years Ruby has gone there with a Duvan and the Supreme Novices Hurl, or a Faheen in the Ballymore, or a Duvan in the Champion Chase, or a Nanny Power in the Mayor's Race, or a Cavega in the Mayor's Race. They have got Benny to do this year, who looks like their banker, and they don't have the depth maybe that they once had. But you do think that, I'm sure Ruby went there many years riding the likes of Cavega in the Mayor's Race. She was by far the best mare, and he probably thought all you have to do stay around. I was lucky that I went there at times and I rode horses that I thought, I just have to steer them around, I just have to get them around and they'll win. They didn't always do that, but you went out there with the frame of mind, if I get them around, I think they'll win.
Yeah. Champion Hurdle, the big race on Tuesday. After all the talk, Apples Jade, it looks as though she is going to run. Would you make her a strong favourite?
I don't know if I'd make her a strong favourite. You know, there is no doubt that she's put up the best two performances this year in jump racing, both in the Hatton's Grace and when she won the Champion Hurdle in Leopardstown last time. Visually, by far, the best jump performance that I've seen. There are question marks. She has a tendency to jump to the right. If she loses, you know, half a length at each hurdle in the Champion Hurdle, it's four lengths. She has been, she's been to the Cheltenham Festival a few times. She got beaten at a very, very short price last year in the Mergers there. You know, Bouvardier's won the last two Champion Hurdles. You'd say that, oh, that his form of the race last year when he beat Melling and Mixed Jazz is not that strong, but he's won when he wasn't at his best. He's been there, done it. He's trained by a man who's trained seven Champion Hurdle winners. He's got a lot of things in his favour. It's a great Champion Hurdle.
Like, the last horse to win three Champion Hurdles, Istabrak, is seen as one of the greatest of all time. Like, Bouvardier, if comes away winning, do you suddenly start looking at the horse completely differently?
Yeah, I don't think Bouvardier has got the credit he deserves to win in two Champion Hurdles. I think he's a very good horse. Would I put him in the same breath as Istabrak? I'm not sure. Of all the horses in jump racing, and I looked at, I thought, you know, Istabrak would have been one high up the list. Istabrak and Desert Orca would have been two horses that I would love to have ridden. You know, would I look back and think now I'm only retired, you know, 4 years, I look back and think, oh God, I would have loved to have ridden Bouvardier. Yeah, to win three Champion Hurdles is a phenomenal feat, and it will be a phenomenal feat if he can do it. But will he be an Istabrak? I'm not sure. You're probably best ask the owner. Yeah. But I'm not sure he would say that he's an Istabrak. But I do agree that I don't think he's had the credit he deserves. And to win three Champion Hurdles, we all know how difficult it is.
You probably spent a good chunk of your time racing, looking at Arsenal in the glory days, thinking, ah, it'd be great to have a little bit of free time, go and sit at the Emirates, go and watch these brilliant teams, go and watch us achieve things, enjoy the success, and then you retire, and it's been pretty much a nightmare ever since for Arsenal. Are you a little bit depressed by it all at the moment?
Yeah, look, we got a little bit spoiled as Arsenal fans, you know, with that time with Manchester United, the teams that they had, you know, the Invincibles were, you know, you got to look at that team that had Lehman, Carlo Torre, Ashley Cole, Lauren, Saul Campbell, Patrick Vieira, Robert Perez, Dennis Bergkamp, Thierry Henry, Gilberto. You know, there's not one of the Arsenal players now would get on the bench of the Invincible team. Right. There's not one of them that looks like one of the Invincible team. You know, with the exception of Ashley Cole, they were all big physical specimens. Unfortunately, we're a million miles away from that. I don't think the owner has the same interest in the football club that we'd have liked them to have. I think it's a cash cow in terms of financially. Arsenal is a profit making club, and as long as it's doing that, I don't think the owner will be that bothered too much.
Well, enjoy the United game on Sunday and enjoy the festival as well, Tony.
Thank you.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.